Tonight on Big Head Mode, we're going to be getting all up in your eardrums talking about video games. We are reviewing Yoshi's Woolly World, probably one of the cutest games ever created by man or God. I'm joined on the show by Carlo, who's been away for a little while, and Tegan. Guys, you excited to talk about customization?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so excited, Ben.
Yeah?
Just so excited.
I can tell. I can see it in your eyes.
If I could change my jacket right now, I would.
Well, there you go. That's that's a ringing endorsement for what's coming up on the show on Big Head Mode. Hello and welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien. Carlo, Tegan, thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming here.
Ben, it's a bloody pleasure.
Carlo, you've been away for four weeks?
3 weeks. 3 weeks up in New England.
No gaming. Not a single bloody game.
I made my own little deck of Gwent cards.
How long did that take? How long into that show did it take before Carlo brought up Gwent?
We called it in the car.
Oh, yeah. I specifically didn't want to talk about some Witcher 3 stuff. So I was like, you know, it's been a Gwent-free zone.
No, with Carlo around.
Well, let's see. See what happens, guys. Let's see what happens.
So you whittled your own Gwent deck?
Yeah, whittled it out of some iron bark and... It smelt beautiful, felt beautiful.
Should have gone paper bark, mate.
Nah, paper bark's no good for Gwent. You need a hard, slow wood.
There you go. Welcome to Wood Chat. If you want to follow more Wood Chatter, you can follow our hashtag Big Head Mode Wood Tips. Or just follow us on Big Head Mode. Twitter, Big Head Mode 2RRR, if you want to join the discussion. We are going to be talking about customization. I figured... It's something that bleeds into a lot of our conversations. Anyway, you guys like to throw me under the bus for my love of customization, but in our own way, we all love customizing, character creating, role playing. It could just be like a play style rather than like what you look like. It's not always cosmetic. It could just be the feel of a character.
An ethos, a philosophy behind your character.
That's right. You could be customizing their very soul, their essence.
Customizing their core values.
That's right. So we'll talk about that. And Yoshi's Woolly World, which is...
It'll be a great yarn.
Oh, shit.
All right, off to an early
start.
You see,
because yarn is actually made from wool.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Carlo. Yeah. I was very confused.
There we go.
So, yeah, what I did there is I said, it'll be a great yarn.
So it's a play on words?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, great.
Okay.
Carlo's back, everybody.
There we go. Welcoming our fallen hero.
Just, you know, some people might not get it.
No, it's good to spell it out, you know.
Yes.
And I think because it's a, you know, people couldn't realize is that Carlo, just to make that clearer, he held up a ball of yarn that he actually had in his hand.
Gotta carry yarn. How can you crochet on a bus if you don't have yarn?
It's true.
It's a saying that my mum always told me, and it rings true.
And, you know, it's like that philosophy of mine. A joke isn't funny until it's been explained.
Incessantly.
Within an inch of its
life. Preferably with diagrams or props. Now, last time you were on the show, Carlo, you hadn't been gaming much. And just today, you have been playing a game that we reviewed on the show last week, Rare Replay. As probably the only other person on this show who is obsessed with Rare games as I am, have you found it?
It's just been a magical adventure back down the whimsical lane of reminiscence. It's just been great.
With a bit of googly eyes going on.
Oh, it's just done so well. I only just figured out that you can turn off the
sidebar.
The side panels around it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that, but I've just found that I can turn that off, so that's great.
It was
very
distracting, I thought.
Even
visually.
Just the way that the game opens is just so... It just embodies everything that Rare is as a company. And it makes me really sad that so many people left that company when they got sold to Microsoft and ultimately kind of crippled their creative core. But just got it. It's good playing some games that I loved years ago. And normally I'm quite cynical, you know, like about Nintendo constantly just re-releasing these games over and over again, never creating any new IP. And there's nothing new. There's no new IP in this, But it's just great.
It's still just like it's just a great collection of games put together with real love. Like the presentation and the some of the special features you can unlock seem awesome as well. Like,
yeah,
there's making of stuff from games that never finished, and there's like cutting room floor stuff. There's like abandoned soundtracks that weren't used for Banjo-Kazooie.
Really?
Yeah, real great stuff there.
Oh man, it is great. It is great.
And nuts and bolts. As well.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, yeah, nah, you know.
Swings and roundabouts.
I know you're very excited about getting into some of that Conker's Bad Fur Day multiplayer.
Yeah, God. We got to get into it.
If people haven't played it, you know, I'm like thinking about Tegan, it today. There are some modes in that I feel like you just couldn't get away with in a modern multiplayer game. Like, what about the one where you play the Nazi teddies and you're actively stopping
refugees.
The squirrel refugees from making it to safety
with
a giant, like, anti-aircraft type machine gun.
Yeah.
Just gunning them down as they go across.
Yeah, I don't think you're Nazi teddies. I just think...
Well, the teddies were always sort of like...
They did have that red banner, I suppose, didn't they?
And the Z, teddies, spelled with a Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's just sunk in.
Yeah. No, there's some great multiplayer as well, like the one where you're the caveman and you have to try and steal an egg and get it to a frying pan.
And chuck it on the frying pan. And the other team are the raptors and you hunt and eat the caveman.
Tegan, we're going to have a lot of fun playing this game.
I'm very excited to jump into it, definitely. Yeah. Now that I live in a gaming household.
Boom.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, and there's been so much gaming. We've been playing a lot of Destiny.
Oh, so much Destiny.
What do you think of Destiny, Tegan?
Loving it. I've leveled 25 levels in less than a week.
Whoa, that's how much 25?
That's how much Destiny we have been playing.
I'm on level 25.
All right.
Carlo, we've got a raid party just rearing to go.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Waiting for you, mate. Oh, yeah.
Do you think we can finally... The only thing I found if those raids is because they kept making them harder
because people
would speed run them. And now, for people who have never played a raid, they're really hard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've never gotten through a raid.
But with all the other DLC and stuff that's come out, there's heaps more high level loot floating around. So I reckon if you played again for another couple of days, like within 2 days,
yeah, if you just play a couple more days, you can finish the raid that came out.
No. But I reckon within two days, you'd find loot worth more than what you would get from the raid anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So you'd already be a higher level, like be able to be max level for that raid. So then it's just about finishing it so you can say you've bloody done it, you know?
Yeah, all right.
Then there is a second raid as well on the moon. Hey?
Hey?
On the moon?
Yep. Moon raid.
A moon raid?
A moon raider. But yeah, look, the other exciting thing we've been playing, which you only just played today, Tegan.
Yes.
Is Carlo and I finally, we've got a new potential crew member for our GTA sessions. You haven't made the cut yet.
Jesus, guys. I learned how to fly a plane about 45 minutes ago by myself.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of...
You've got to keep plugging.
There's just a lot of steps to crew membership, you know?
I had to kill a stranger, you know?
In real life.
In real life.
All I'm saying is last time we just let anyone in, we had Bardia. And we've had real problems with Bardia in our crew.
If we could not compare me to Bardia, I'd very much appreciate
it. We don't want another Bardia, Tegan. That's why we've got to be thorough with our examination.
Hey, look, Bardia, he's an excellent asset to any team.
As?
I feel like there was a...
Yeah.
There was a but.
No, there's no but. Wink.
There it is.
No, but GTA, I think nothing has come close to GTA multiplayer for me on the Xbox One until now with Conker's Bad Fur Day.
It was interesting, sort of like, I mean, we've had different experiences trying to introduce people to GTA multiplayer before, like Seton, who has been on the show a few times. Yeah. And you thought, you know what, Seton, you never played the game before. The best thing for you to do is learn how to fly a plane.
That's exactly what happened
and
today.
And Carlo's just there talking him through it. Now you just do this and then you do that. And then you pull up slightly. There you go. Now you're flying.
I think I probably found it a little bit easier because I've played all the other games.
Yeah.
I hadn't played GTA 5, so the learning curve wasn't so bad.
Mm. Except for the whole thing of being relentlessly hunted by a psychopath in a fighter jet.
Yeah, besides that.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, literally by fire.
But that's about the worst that can happen to you in this game, other than Ben taking hours to change a jacket.
That is the worst thing.
Save it for customization chat, all right?
Just staying on topic.
I love that you're like, that. Look, that's the worst that can happen, though, is that you're... relentlessly and endlessly hunted by a an awful murderer in like the latest military weaponry
with no moral consequences.
No, and no way to bring him down.
Yeah.
Look, let's say we just crack on with this show. What do you guys say to that?
Hey? Sure.
Let's get cracking.
Eh? Eh?
Well, Tegan, since you're now, I mean, you're not in the crew yet, but you're halfway there, so I thought I'd play Welcome to Los Santos from the GTA 5 soundtrack.
All right.
Let's come back after this to talk about some news. You're on 2RRR, 88.5 FM. Okay. That was Welcome to Los Santos from the GTA 5 soundtrack. Tegan, do you feel sufficiently welcomed?
I feel welcome. I feel pumped. And I'm ready to go and cap some mothers and do some heisting.
Yeah, let's just... Let's really hope that you're good enough for the crew. Because it'd just be really bad after all this build-up if you're just, you know, weren't quite good enough.
The interesting thing is that the next stage of becoming part of the crew, once you're in the crew, mm-hmm. you've got to pick your mask.
Yeah.
That's how we really learn... About who you are.
And then at the end, the crew member that you bonded with the most, you got to fight to the death.
Cool.
Because it's one in, one out. That's the rule.
With this tiny little pistol.
Nice. I like it. Body, yeah. You're going down, you bastard.
Let's actually do that. But look, newsy poos, and first thing in the old news box.
Newsy poos!
And I'm opening up. Let's open that box. Star Wars Battlefront is going to be playable at PAX Australia.
Boom, boom, boom.
Shake, shake the room.
Shake it with Star Wars. Nice.
So it doesn't come out to November. So it's actually... Because I remember last year at PAX, there were a few playable games that you kind of go, well, this comes out next week. So it's sort of...
Yeah.
You know, the idea of playing it early. But if you're going to be at PAX, that's something to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a nice little build of multiplayer. It's they're going to have co-op there as well, apparently.
Or cop. Or co-op.
Coop.
Co-op.
Coop.
Coop.
There we go.
There it is.
There we go. We got there and made a word. And, you know, that continues to be probably the multiplayer game I'm the most excited for.
Oh, yeah. Year. Absolutely.
And that's saying something, because a lot of multiplayer, I mean, there's Halo 5, there's...
Gears?
Yep. So much multiplayer.
Gears, mate.
Yeah, there's Gears. There's Gears. Comes out next week. But really, you know, that's it.
Cocky's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark.
Comes out soon.
Jet Force Gemini.
Gee, the Perfect Dark multiplayer is great. All right, let's talk about games that aren't rare.
Okay.
And this is probably like one of the bigger things, I think, to happen this week.
How much bigger?
I'll tell you how much bigger it is, Carlo. Quite much bigger.
Sounds quite large.
Yeah, this is the... Bungie have actually outlined what a lot of the changes that are going to happen to Destiny... what these changes actually are, basically, with the Taken King coming out. And they're totally restructuring the whole leveling system, the whole light system, the whole gear system. So you don't have that weird... level 20 isn't the max level anymore. It's now level 40. The whole light thing, it's not just a random stat on your gear anymore, but it's actually the average number of your attack and defense across, like, literally everything that you have. Helmets, bonds now, like, you know, so your cloak and stuff now have stats on them.
Oh!
And so your light level, like, you know, the example I showed is that, you know, someone had 190 level defense staff, and then one thing was 170, and so it rounded out his light level as 186. And so the moment the DLC comes out, the patch comes out as well, and it's going to sort of change everyone's level accordingly.
To how? Like, will we suddenly jump up to level 30-something? Or
I don't know how it works in terms of that level. I guess maybe you'll just be on 20. So, like, basically, 20 is your max, but then you can keep earning XP, yeah, so XP will actually count towards a level. But, you know, it's...
And the other great thing about The Taken King is that Liam Neeson is going to be in it, and he's going to be looking for his daughter, who's being taken.
And the king. And the king. He's looking for both of them. Another great thing is that the one that I'm probably the happiest with in terms of the restructuring, they're getting rid of Vanguard marks and Crucible marks.
What?
And they're turning them into one thing, just called Legendary marks.
That's awesome.
So it all counts towards the same thing. And
that's a good change.
Yeah. And that's the main currency for buying all good legendary weapons. So it's sort of like, it's not going to be this weird thing of, you know, are you someone who plays multiplayer or do you just play the story stuff? It's sort of like it all builds to this one thing.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's not dividing you into these things. So you never feel like, oh, I don't really like playing Crucible, but I have to get this thing that I want.
Yeah.
And there's heaps of cool stuff. Like, they've just... some of it's stuff that I feel like just should have been there from the get-go. Like, you know how you can customize your ghost shell, how your ghost looks?
Yeah.
They're finally bringing in a bunch of things. So you can customize how your ghost shell looks, but they have perks and stuff on them. So the example is here. You can add a spirit bloom sensor, which detects and marks any nearby spirit bloom.
Now, that's handy. Mm.
Yeah, little
now
things
like
that.
There's something I can get into.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stats like that. Another cool thing is they're retroactively adding new stats to gear that you've already got. So you might have maxed out some, like a nice exotic weapon or something, but they can add new stats like this one. These are some wizard's robes, increased recovery, health recovery for 5 seconds after you've taken solar damage. Stuff like that.
Right.
So they really poured a lot into just boosting and upgrading your gear because they really want people to
play it again and give it another chance.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and it looks like they've listened, which is cool. They've even got a thing here and an ability to look at what it's called. It's something very Destiny-ish, so just imagine. Here you go, Spark of Light.
Of course. There it is.
In the dark?
Yeah. So you get one Spark of Light, and you can use it to insta-level to 25. Specifically so that people who are just jumping on for the first time or people who want to try out the new subclasses, because there are 3 subclasses coming into each new class.
What?
So, yeah, you didn't know about the subclasses, Carlo? Oh, let me blow your mind. All right, so you've got the what I'm calling the Thor class for the Titan, which adds a solar-based subclass where you can throw a flaming hammer and just beat people up with it. There's what I'm calling the Emperor Palpatine for the Warlock, which basically you glide around and just shoot electricity from your hands.
Okay.
Yep. And the Hawkeye, which you get a void bow. And apparently, from what I've seen in footage, they haven't fully outlined it. It looks like you can fly in the air as a hunter and just shoot a bow at people.
So cool.
Wow.
Shoot arrows. And the arrows do, like, radial damage. So you aim at the ground, like, near enemies, and it goes, poof. Yeah. So they've added this, like, insta-level thing, so you can go, well, I really want to try out this character now that they've got this new subclass. Make a new one. Bang. Insta-level. You're golden. You know? You're golden.
And everybody gets one.
Everyone gets one color.
There can be only one color.
There can be only one.
Huh.
There you go.
Can you trade gear yet with other players?
No.
Wow.
But I think like doing that would just totally ruin the economy of earning stuff yourself.
Truth, yeah.
Because then you have people who are just like power leveling every day and breaking the balance by going, hey, I farmed 30 Galahorn rocket launchers.
Yeah, everyone
take them.
Definitely. You know?
Especially because there's PvP stuff. Yeah,
maybe we need more anarchism in these video games, Ben. Doesn't all have to base yourself on this damn capitalist paradigm.
Now, here's an interesting story. So, Bethesda, they're pretty out there with their advertising. Most people have probably heard about Fallout 4 by now.
Oh, what's that, Ben? I certainly don't know what that
people
is.
People in this room.
I don't go on about it all the time.
Okay, I can detect sarcasm pretty well sometimes.
You put a lot of points into that skill tree.
You really did. So it's that fact that I think that this is a pretty interesting move. They've been advertising Fallout on Tinder.
Yeah, and look, I've been swiping through trying to find Vault Boy so hard.
I've been trying to find all kinds of characters from games. You know, I'm just trying to find Zelda. I'm trying to find my femship is nowhere to be seen.
Bitch.
Really. And she's, you know, she's the dream. She's out there somewhere.
Of course she is.
Mine's on there. My shepherd's on there. She's
really
having a great time.
She's loving it. She's swiping right on everyone.
I would have thought your shepherd was way too busy for Tinder, Carla.
Oh, she swipes left on everyone.
She's just there to judge.
She just swipes left. Her profile just says, I don't have time for this.
I have to go.
All her messages are just, you're working too hard.
I'd love to see a Garrus on there. Is this calibrating?
Yeah, except on her Tinder, it's just like right is Paragon and left is Renegade. Yeah, it's real bad. But look, so what Bethesda have been doing is they've actually made a Tinder profile for Vault Boy, which is great, and people have sort of just been discovering it.
I'd swipe right on him.
Well, I mean, here we go, Carla. I'll read the description for you, and you tell me when you think you'd swipe right or left. Right?
Okay.
Vault Boy, 25, 100 miles away.
100 miles away.
Yeah, well, probably underground, I think.
Yeah.
Build a brighter future together. Underground. Swipe right to be selected as a Vault-Tec overseer and create the perfect underground community. Vault Boy likes Nuka-Cola, putting out fires, taking coffee breaks, and exploring the blasted wasteland. Collects bottle caps, lunch boxes, and outfits. If love was radiation, I'd need a box of Rataways, says Vault Boy.
Oh, he's so smooth.
That's a left. That's a left for
That's
me.
A left,
Hard
really.
Left.
What did it? What was the deal breaker for you?
You know, I don't think anybody sane likes putting fires out. You know, that's worries true. Me. Worries me a little bit.
Wait, no one sane likes putting fires out.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to get behind him. As Madame Pyro is my game attack, I have to get behind Carlo on that one.
Okay, you're both maniacs and monsters. Poor little Volpo is there pouring his heart out.
I'd swipe right.
That's too cheesy. It's real cheesy and sleazy.
Oh, wait, let's see. Also likes The Notebook and favorite films, Donnie Darko.
I just like having just chilling out.
Mm.
Walking along the beach and...
There are no beaches anymore.
No beaches underground in the wasteland.
There's some sand and a poster of an old Honolulu.
Nice.
It's kind of... I mean, you can pretend. We can all pretend. And this story was interesting as well, actually. A study came out that said there are more teenage girls playing games than most people think, but most of them, the vast majority of them, will not play with their headsets on.
I can't imagine why, with the filth being spewed from 13-year-old boys in multiplayer.
Yeah. So they say 59% of all girls between the ages of 13 and 17 will play video games.
Ah.
Good.
Yeah. So the age of girls playing games is younger too, which is good. Because traditionally, you've had a very, very male teenage audience playing a lot of these online games. And I would wager that factor is clearly still present and probably why, well, it's what they speculate, why girls won't chat.
Yeah, why would you? Hey, babe, fucking frigid bitch. Like, that's what you have to look forward to.
Yeah. So have you found, I mean, what's your experience? I know you don't play a huge amount of online sort of matchmaking type games. I mean, like, online matchmaking, not like matchmaker, find me a match.
What is happening?
But I mean, have you found that?
No, I've avoided it.
Influence one way or the other.
No, I've avoided it for exactly that reason. I play multiplayer with my friends.
Yeah.
In closed chats, and that for exactly that reason. I don't have to deal with that at all.
And how about you, Carla? Do you find that you will harass women when you
just Tegan?
Yeah,
just me.
Just Tegan. I'm generally pretty good, but Tegan captures most of my wrath.
Yeah.
Look, it's that's a fair summary.
Tegan and Bardia. Yeah. I was like, come on, Bardia, you frigid bitch.
It's no wonder he left us. It's no wonder he's gone.
He went to America for a reason.
Seek help. Look, let's go to some music. This is The Traveller from Destiny. We're going to come back after this and talk customization. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM.
Here we go.
Welcome back, gang. Let's talk customization, as we have want to do. And you know what? I'll start things, guys. You might not know this about me, but I really love character customization in a game. You know, I like how they look. I like changing the way they dress, or maybe facial features. You know,
or the way they dress.
I don't know.
Their jackets, what their clothes look like.
Sometimes. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed this, Carly. You probably haven't, but sometimes when we're playing GTA and we're in the middle of a crucial mission,
if we
drive past a clothing store, I'll just go in there for a while till I find the right look for that mission.
Yeah.
You know? Have you noticed that?
And no, I haven't, Ben.
And then it's 3 a.m. and everyone else is logged out
hours
earlier.
Yeah. Look, it's a key part of any game, all right? Customization. And it's not always just what you look like.
It's not.
Mm-mm.
It can totally be...
who you are.
Who you are within. It could be, you know, skills and stuff like that. Like, basically, character building. How you customize. Could be controls.
Could be.
See, I'm a big fan of creating the moral compass of a character. That's my favourite customizational thing. I mean, I invest a lot into designing the character, making them look really cool, but my biggest thing is, how am I going to play this character? What is their psychological profile?
Yeah.
So, for example, my latest Skyrim character, this is years ago now, but my most recent Skyrim character, she was fleeing from her homeland. Her husband had tried to murder her. She had murdered her husband and was banished from her village. She wouldn't cross bodies of water. She always travelled on the road, and she wouldn't travel by night, and she was completely honourable, wouldn't steal anything, wouldn't do anything without permission being asked, and it was the best. Every time there were points where I would have to cross a body of water, there was no way to do a quest without doing it, so I would take all of her armour off, leave it, and then swim across as if I had carried the armour across, and it just made the game so much. I saw parts of that game I'd never seen because I just was following these roads, you know, and had events just that I'd never seen because I just went by the road. I refused to ride a horse because nothing would carry my burden.
Oh my god.
I like a big part of customization for me in Skyrim was just never wearing a helmet.
Yeah, definitely.
Because your character looked awful. The helmets were awful. Not bad. You looked awful. And it just you spend all this time creating a character, and then it's like, let's put an ugly helmet on their face.
Maybe you're in first person.
Yeah, but it still changed things. You know?
Well, I don't want a concussion, so helmet on it goes.
Don't let
safety
get...
first, Ben.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Iron helmet. The iron helmet with the horns.
There were no bike regulations. I rode my bike up and down that damn...
I had full plate armor, but always the iron helmet with the horns. Nice. It just looked dope.
See, my way of playing Skyrim was pretty unique as well. I generally just have a character who would steal everything, take everything for herself.
So it's nice in customization, you've modeled the character largely on your actual self.
Correct,
your real world self.
Yeah, you'll go home, Ben, you'll see that your entire room's been cleaned out.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah, I went and looked in your room, and it was just there was my bed on top of your bed, and just a pile of stuff in the corner. I was like, hey, you. Yeah, except you insist on stealing it from me right in front of me, just slightly crouched.
Yeah, just in the corner, but somehow you didn't notice.
You did put a basket over Ben's head, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you guys find in a game, is there sort of a default look that you go for when you're building a character for the first time in any game?
Red hair, always.
Red hair?
Yep. Always, always.
I mean, and always female?
Yeah, for the most part. You should go female.
Because, Carl, you always play a woman too, right?
Yep. Always a woman, always black hair, always blue eyes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and always mad facial scars if I can get them.
Nice. Yeah.
Over the eyes.
For me, an absolute must-have for a male character is some sort of grizzled facial hair. I like a good... grizzled character, you know, talking people based on Wolverine types or Geralt types, you know, a good someone with a troubled past, perhaps.
With a chip on their shoulder and nothing to lose.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's why when we got so excited about making our characters for Destiny when that game was first coming out. You know, we had this Facebook chat going for weeks about who's going to be human, who's going to be alien, who's going to be doing that. And we were getting excited about backstory and all this stuff. And I just remember how deflated I was when we got into the character creation and there was no facial hair options for them. And I was like, this just shattered. I realized how much of my character was just built around the premise that he had a beard.
Much like real life.
Destiny was one of those funny games in that, in a game that predicted to have so many millions of people playing it and this huge online community, there was so little customizational options in there.
I think they've added new stuff because I swear to God I saw someone in the tower the other day with a hairstyle I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And that seems like a weird observation to make. I know that seems like a weird observation to make.
Holy shit.
But
man.
if you remember, there were five hairstyles when we first played that game. And because we played it at launch, it was everyone in the tower looked the same. You'd just see the same person with that sort of top knot samurai hair and or that weird bowl cut or mohawk or whatever. And I swear I don't know if there's a rogue barber or a hairdresser just running amok in the tower, but I swear I saw someone with dreads, you know?
It would be fun to have in an online game like Elder Scrolls if you had to go to another human player who was a hairdresser.
That'd be so good.
And they could just...
Skill tree that you can go down. That'd be so good.
That's what Elder Scrolls Online should do. You know how you have to specialise in all of your tailoring and stuff?
Woodworking.
Imagine if there was an ability to alter how your character looked after you went in there, but it was entirely in the hands of the other player who changed your look.
So,
you go and you say, I really want my hair to be cut short and that you could come back with a bowl cut and then you're stuck with that until you find
some fryer cut.
Yeah.
Well, Elder Scrolls Online, where I first foray into that was last night, and something happened, Ben, that you were there for, talking about customization.
I still think you should, I mean, you know how important customization is to me.
I know,
I just cringe when I think of it. So Tegan, like, panic rushed her customization.
It was 2 a.m. and I felt like you were waiting on me and I felt bad.
But I very clearly said, no, you take your time.
Yeah.
Because you're building a character, Tegan. And this is a character that may well be with you for the rest of your life. Okay? You don't rush that. That's like rushing a baby name, you know? And then you're stuck with little Gwendolyn forever.
Hey, Gwendolyn's a nice
name. That's a nice name.
It is a nice name. I don't know why I went to that.
Yeah, gee, man.
Come on, mate.
It's like
you would name your child Gwendolyn.
Oh,
here we go.
Look, my dark elf.
I have a problem.
My dark elf is looking all right. She's got the red hair, so it's not so bad.
But you're in this weird situation now where, like, your dark elf doesn't look bad. There's nothing wrong with how she looks.
Yeah.
But it's just like, does she look as unique as you wanted it to? Like, that was your chance to inject all of that personality and...
I know, and I love making characters like that. It's just, I was balancing my need to create this unique character and just sheer laziness. So, yeah. And starting again.
One thing that I will always do when building a character is I love putting scars on them, but I will never use a scar that I haven't thought up in my mind how they've got it.
Of course, yeah.
Like, I always have to go back and recreate who caused it, what caused it, and how it changed them.
I had my character in Skyrim, she had a white mark on her face, like a white handprint.
Yeah.
And I said that she had, like, cut the hand of her dead husband and, like, dyed the on her face.
Shit.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Self-brandished.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. My Khajiit, Ronan, and I mean Ronan, like, you know, he's a wandering samurai sort of dude. He has a scar in his eye that was from his former master.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Because he let his master's daughter die in a fire.
Damn.
So he was scarred, told never to return. So he wanders Tamriel
and
looking for a place,
and runs around in a dinosaur. And when he's waiting for me, just busts out, starts playing music while I'm doing quests.
Well, if you bothered to ask Tegan, maybe he plays the lute because that was what his long dead love enjoyed so more fondly.
Oh, God.
It is funny, the little things that you can sort of chuck in there for fun. What about, like, so let's say a non-fantasy game, GTA, you know, or a game based in realism. So you get to build a sort of modern world character. What do you go to then for your...
Well, GTA is actually one of the first games in a long time that I made a male character because I tried to just make myself.
Yeah.
Even when you had to select your parents, like, I found, like, a sort of Turkish-looking woman and a white Australian guy. Put them together, and then I, like, gave myself a moustache, yeah. And they cried the hair. So I, like, try to make it look as much as close as possible to myself. That's the first time I've ever done that, and I think that's it's a bit of a testament. I for something that's kind of very simplistic in the GTA character creation, you can actually get quite a lot of subtlety in different characters, and
definitely
it's quite a lot to play with there.
It's much better now on next gen, like or current gen now. It's sort of like my character always looks really weird, and there was a feature like if you had a special edition or something that let you choose one of your parents as John Marston, and I thought that's really cool. Oh, you could choose your grandparents like as John Marston. I was like, that's really cool. Except clearly everyone did that because everyone like enjoyed Red Dead Redemption. So like 90% of the characters had John Marston's eyes, like his sort of shifty big eyebrows, sort of Clint Eastwood look.
Oh my God.
And so on like previous gen, it just everyone looked the same. And I think they fixed that for next gen because it's sort of all of a sudden my character didn't just look like. Mm. You know, Wile E. Coyote human form.
Well, your character looked pretty similar to you from what I could see today.
Yeah, and that was a rush job as well, like, because I could hear you guys just having a few laughs and having a few games and having a few
good times.
Yeah, so we were. But you'll find as you collect clothes and, when you go to the... No, like, when you go to the barbershop, you gradually sort of just end up emulating yourself. Like, your character, Carlo, sort of dresses how you like. Like, there's that one costume that you have for your character where he just wears his short shorts. and the bucket
short shorts
hat.
And a singlet. And a bucket hat.
And you love dressing like that.
That's for casual summer wear.
Yeah. And my character still gravitates towards, you know, your flannel shirts and your leather jackets.
Oh, God.
And I was just lamenting today that I can't wear a denim jacket.
I know, I want double denim.
Because if I can't get away with double denim in real life, I'm sure as hell going to try and get away with it in my fantasy world.
Trying to double rudd it.
So look, before we move on, any final customization things that you want to get out there? Anything you've always wanted to do customization wise, but you've been too afraid?
No.
Okay.
Not afraid of anything.
I'm just saying. By your imagination.
Exactly. I'm just saying, if there's a look you've always wanted to rock and you've been afraid that I would judge you personally, don't. Just go for it, man. I'm accepting. If you want a mohawk, you rock that bloody mohawk. But Barty, if you're listening to this and you're trying to get away with that leopard suit again, I swear to God, I forced him to go back to the change his outfit.
Do you know what I thought we should all do for our heist, four players? Is we should dress as Tintin, Captain Haddock, and the Tins.
Yes,
Thompson. Why not?
That's the correct answer. Shotgun Captain Haddock.
Damn it.
I want to be one of the twins.
I'm Tintin.
And yeah, let's do it. Barty is Snowy. All right. we've talked long enough. This is Yoshi's Island. We're going to review Yoshi's Woolly World straight after this. All right, Carlo, get that yarn out because we're going to talk Yoshi's Woolly World.
I'm just going to sit over to the corner and do the baseline for Yoshi's Island, so you guys just have fun.
Okay, all right.
That's always nice having Carlo on.
It is.
So look, we talked about this show a couple of weeks ago when you played it, and yes. So there is already evidence out there of our feelings on this game,
yes.
But to sum it up in a review, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun game. I feel like you have to divide this game into two separate games, though. There is the fun, platforming, adorable Yoshi game that you play when you play it single player.
Yep.
And there is the taxing, soul-crushing, friendship-destroying monster that is co-op.
And that's my favorite place to be.
This is a game that does just not want you to have friends.
Classic Coop.
It is classic Coop gameplay. It is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Every single game mechanic... It serves to thwart your friendships.
Yeah, you can't get past each other. You've got to eat each other and turn yourselves into stuff to throw at other stuff.
Yeah, like, so your main attacks in this game, in terms of gameplay, it follows a very familiar Yoshi gameplay formula.
Yeah.
You know, you have your tongue attack, you can eat enemies, turn them into eggs, collect eggs from the boxes and sort of throw them at stuff and things like that. The wrinkle on this formula that they've added to this is that everything's made of wool. So sometimes you might find a little knot that you can unravel with your tongue and it sort of it shows that there's something hidden. You can kind of interact with the environment in a really cool way. So sometimes there might be a soft woolen wall that you can walk into and you kind of scrunch the wool up and reveal a secret.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. And they're not really highlighted, a lot of these. So there's some nice, fun little things that you only find if you sort of experiment with the environment and stuff.
You can steal from mother birds.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. In fact, we'll get to that in a second, because that was to me a highlight of the sort of creativity of this game. Mm. But all of those things that you interact with, just about every one of those abilities, egg making, throwing stuff, jumping, using your tongue, if your co-op partner gets in the way, you eat them.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, you eat them. Then if you press down on the D-pad, you turn them into an egg. And you can throw them at an enemy. Sure, that comes in handy sometimes if yes. There are no eggs around.
Yeah, we actually did really well with that tactic sometimes.
When it doesn't work out, I accidentally eat them. And then you're like, oh, sorry, hang on, let me get you out of that. And you shoot them across the room into a spiky pit of death. You know, it can get tricky.
Is it always an accident, though, Ben? Is it always?
Not always, no. But it can definitely be taxing, I would say. When you get to a tough level and you can't get through, and then you're not doing it deliberately anymore for fun, you're accidentally eating each other because you're trying to get the same enemies. And, you know, it's a similar formula to the new Super Mario Brothers thing, and I think it's actually my biggest problem with it, because it's a great-looking game. It's really fun.
Really cute.
It's the kind of game you go, yeah, hey, sit down, check this game out. It's really adorable. And these mechanics just stop me from having fun. You know, they really get in the way. Because new Super Mario Brothers, you can do that, but it was possible to avoid ruining your friend's day and still play that game. Like, the screen was big enough, your characters were small enough that you could kind of avoid each other.
Mm.
But in this, your characters feel quite big. in terms of the overall screen
space. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
And the platforms you're landing on are quite small, and because you can't walk past each other, you are just bouncing off each other and pushing them off stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, it's, from a single player point of view, if that's how you're going to play it, it's still a lot of fun. There's a lot of there's a lot of world. There's like five worlds that you can unlock each.
Five whole worlds.
Five whole worlds, all built with really creative, interesting game design. Mm. A level that we really loved was themed around sort of little hatchlings. So there's lots of little nests filled with baby birds and eggs and stuff.
And you rob it. Rob that nest.
So first of all, you got to take out the parent bird, which you do by jumping on their head. They die. you kill them. Not just that, you unmake them into yarn in front of their children's eyes. Then you abscond with seven children, right? And they replace your egg slots. When you throw them, it leads a trail of clouds that you can actually use as platforms.
Yep.
Presumably, the child falls to their death. So you're sort of massacring these poor baby chickens just for a platforming level. But visually, it's really cool. And when you sort of stumble across that function of creating the clouds, it makes for just really creative problem solving with platforming and stuff, you know?
Useful and cute genocide is the best kind of genocide.
So. Yeah, like, right. If you can make your genocide adorable, then, you know, tick. But
the horror aside, it's a really cool level, the way that that works.
And there's heaps like that. Like, there's a really cool one with rainbows as well, where the rainbow sort of will unfold and make a platform, but the way it unfolds, it's like a knitted scarf that kind of unravels and unrolls across the screen.
That's cool.
Like, the sort of textures of the levels are really cool. And just the way everything looks individually knitted, and just the movement, like when Yoshi runs, his legs sort of unravel into threads of wool that sort of spin around each other and sort of make new shapes. It's got Nintendo's, like, it's a really strong entry for Nintendo in terms of a visual presence. It's got a really interesting style to it. It does just, it's just another Yoshi game, you know? And it is a shame that Nintendo, they do have to fall back on games that they've already made at their core. So it's a fun game. It looks great. At its core, it's predictable. It's more of what you kind of expect.
Yeah.
But if you've got a Wii U, it's a strong title. And you know, what else are you going to play on the Wii? This is what we end up saying on every Wii U game review. It's like, if you've got a Wii U, it's either get this or wait another 6 months for another Wii U game.
Yeah, that's right. It's one for the fans. It's one for people who just want more of the same.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I still had fun. So, would play again.
Would murder some more baby chickens.
Not co-op. I'm not playing that co-op ever again. Let's go to some messages, come back and say goodbye. Well, 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 the end of another show is here. Tegan and Carlo, thank you very much for coming in and talking games.
No worries.
Thank you, Ben.
As always, people can follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, BigHeadMode2RRR, and our website, bigheadmode.com.au. That's where you'll find out about Bonus Stage, which is coming up next Wednesday. We've got Louis McCurdy from Triple J.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be having an indie pitch game competition that at this stage I'm calling Pitched Off. Which is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have a bit of fun with that. Yeah, how do you feel about that, Carlo? All the meetings are happening on air.
I like it. It reminds me of that expression, pitched on.
Yeah,
oh.
That's what I was going for. So we're going to be having a few indie devs as well as some playable indie games there.
Oh my God,
on the
so
floor. Up next, Matt Curley's Accidentally Curly's Treat. But until then, we'll see you guys next week, and we're going to play you out with a little track I like to call Wind Waker.
Because that's what it is.
From the game of the same name. By Koji Kondo. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.